Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, July 14th, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. And as usual, we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. People who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will virtually raise or lower your hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. And I'm hoping that no one will have trouble unmuting themselves when needed. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments because it helps them in doing their job well. It helps people listening on the phone calls and people who listen to the audio afterwards. It's helpful for them as well. We do request one speaker at a time because if we have two or three people speaking at the same time, it gets very difficult for the interpreters to provide their service. So in advance, I would thank you for taking turns to speak. Just a reminder for our presenters, we do have three presenters today that if there is a visual presentation, please describe your slides in detail for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. We do have a section for public comments towards the end of the meeting. I would just remind any members of the public, if you would like to make any comments, please either send me a chat message or raise hands when we begin that section so that we know how many speakers we have and we can allocate the time appropriately. Typically, it's 2 minutes per speaker. We practice that to make sure that everyone who has the need to speak gets an opportunity to do so. We also request speakers to describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, I'm wearing a blue, black, and white stripes shirt today. And Chair Calabia,
yeah.
If you concur, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and
please
then take the roll call of the committee.
Please.
Okay, wonderful. And before I start reading the agenda, I will share my screen. And when that agenda is visible on my screen, if somebody can confirm, that'll be great.
Yes, I see it.
Okay, thank you. So just like I said, after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through AAC roll call. after that, Chair Calabia will go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We have Bobby Gilchrist, Teresa Thomas to provide us update information about the summer 2025 shutdown phase two. We will have Al Himes to give us an update about Better Bus Network. And Teddy Kralik will discuss temporary bus stop signage and permanent bus flags. That will follow public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. And when I call out your name for the AAC members, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Actually, Vanessa informed that she may not be able to join the meeting today. Rico Dancy.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
I'm here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangren. Philippa Mazel. Swatha Nandakumar.
I'm here.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
I'm present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Samford. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simono and Philip Weintraub. Okay, I just want to state for the record that Denise Rush, Doris Ray, and Thomas Mangrum have informed us in advance that they may not be able to join the meeting for some time. Okay, at this point, Chair Kalabia, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. At this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes. Please, let's see, we've done the roll. The agenda, has everyone seen the agenda? And is there any objections to the agenda? Any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. And the next item, Anu?
That would be approving last month's meeting minutes?
The meeting minutes.
Well, who?
The meeting minutes, Tina.
Okay. Well, first of all, I noted that this is Disability Pride Month. July is Disability Pride Month. And then we talked about the availability of restaurants, the availability of restrooms in the metro stations. and we got a kind of rundown on the scheduling for completing making the restrooms accessible. We also heard about the summer shutdown, phase one. And finally, we had the wayfinding signage review. I remember, too, that Sandy mentioned something that I may have left out. Sandy, do you remember what it was? You're muted, Sandy.
It was a we had a very brief presentation about wayfinding and deferred to Sarah Myers and her team about the new single disc, discs with single letters for signage for the metro rail lines. So right. The wayfinding sort of got deferred.
Yeah. So, Anu, if we make sure that that is included in the draft minutes, I guess with the inclusion of that, do I hear a motion to approve the revised minutes?
Yes, you have a motion from me.
This is Sandy. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as written because I think it was covered pretty well in the minutes that Anu passed around.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy.
Is there a second to approving the minutes?
I second that motion here. It's Rico.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved as discussed. Thank you. And now on to the other item of the agenda. The next item.
Okay, so the next item we have is summer shutdown phase two, and we have Bobby Gilchrist and Teresa Thomas to talk about it.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And Teresa, would you like me to share the screen to display the presentation?
Yes, please.
Okay, if you would give me just a quick moment and I'll have that on my screen. Okay, I believe it's visible now.
No. Now it is.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, there we go.
It's all yours.
All right. Okay, thank you. Name Teresa Thomas, Major Outage Manager. We are now approaching our phase two summer shutdown. And I almost forgot, African American females with striped shirt on, just make sure that was covered. Anu, if we can go to the next slide. All right. So for this shutdown, it will concentrate on the Green Line from Southern Avenue to Branch Avenue. This shutdown is concentrated mostly on our fiber optic and radio cable installation and replacement of just under 102,000 linear feet. We also have upgrade signaling and communication systems. We have rail renewal, as well as faster and tie replacement and other items on our rail infrastructure that will be replaced. We have platform edge lights that will be installed. And then we have a number of lighting items, both roadway and non-roadway, including our ETS circuits. We have replacement of feeder cables that tie into our Branch Avenue yard, which is at the very end of the line. And then we also have station signage updates and repairs, both interior and exterior, as well as some upgrades and repairs that we're doing in our common areas at our facility locations. For this shutdown, it will take place from August 2nd to August 31st, with service being restored on September 1st, which is Labor Day. We have our impacted stations being Naylor Road, Suitland, and Branch Avenue, which will be closed for the duration. For 2 weekends during this shutdown, we have an extension, which will include Congress Heights and Southern Avenue, which will be closed for those 2 weekends of August 9th and 10th and August 16th and 17th. And now I hand it over to you, Bobby.
And thank you, Teresa. My name is Bobby Gilchrist. I am the Program Manager, Bus Operations Service Quality for WMATA. I am a Black American, and I have a Black Metro shirt on as well. Did I get that right, Anu?
You sure did, Bobby. Thank you.
Okay. So we can go through phase two. So as Teresa spoke about phase two, we have some slight changes. The main change is the service update effective a couple of weeks ago on the 22nd. We changed the Metro Rail operating hours. On Saturdays and Sundays, we open up at 6 in the morning instead of 7. And because we open up at 6, we start shuttle services at 5:30. Shuttle service always start 30 minutes prior to rail opening. Next, you see the changes with the Friday and Saturday. We used to close at 1 a.m. on Friday and Saturday night. Now we close at 2 a.m. And if we close at 2 a.m., we will run shuttles 30 minutes past 2 a.m. So that's 30 minutes prior to rail and 30 minutes after rail close. One takeaway here is there are 5 weekends in August, but 2 weekends, the second and third weekends, we extend the shuttle from Southern Avenue up to Anacostia. And that's the second and third weekends in August. Next slide. And this is our service plan. We'll operate two services. First is the local. We'll operate it between Branch Southern, Naylor, and Southern Avenue. Excuse me, I said Southern twice. That's Branch Suitman, Naylor, and Southern. The trip time is 41 minutes. The contractors will use 24 buses daily to execute the local service during the weekday. As you know, it's weekday from August 2nd to the 31st. The other service is the express, operating between Branch and Southern. Trip time is about 24 minutes. The contractor also will use 20 buses throughout the weekday to execute this service. So during the weekday, a contract bus will operate both services. Next slide. Notice again, 5 weekends in August, but these three weekends, we'll operate from Branch to Southern on the local, and from Branch to Southern on the express. The only difference here on the weekend, notice that Metrobus is the provider. Metrobus is providing the service on the local and express on the weekends. So during the weekday, you'll see contract buses operating the service, but on the weekend, you'll see Metrobus.
On this slide and the prior slide, there was a segment said lunch reliefs.
Can you go back one, Anu?
In either slide, it says lunch/reliefs. Why are they, we assume the people take lunch.
Yes, absolutely. That's just the location that the bus operators will stage their vehicle. They'll stage at Branch and at Southern Avenue, and those are the end stations. So half of the buses will be at Branch taking a meal break, and the other half will be at Southern. The express buses will do the meal break at Southern, and the local buses will do their meal break at Branch.
That means there won't be any service on those locations during the lunch.
Absolutely. There will be service from the start of service to the end of service. What we do is we stagger X amount of operators as we continue the service, but the service never ends until closing.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. And next slide. And we talked about this already. Next slide. Now, this is the two special weekends. There are 5 weekends in August, but these two weekends is what I was referring to. And notice that the shuttle is extended from Southern up to Anacostia. That's the change. Earlier, it stopped at Southern. Now, these two weekends and these two weekends only, the shuttle will be extended to Anacostia. The travel time is a little more extended, 70 minutes. Metrobus is the provider, using 44 buses daily to execute the local service. The express service operating between Branch and Anacostia, trip time is about 30 minutes. The contractor will use 28 buses. This is a little different from what we normally do. So on these two weekends, the Metrobus will operate the local service. The express, which we anticipate a lot of people catching, will see a contract bus. This bus will be, if you're familiar with it, it's a Yankee bus. Yankee has brand new Mercedes buses. These buses are very nice. Customers love them. So you'll have the brand new Yankee Mercedes-Benz bus operating the express on these two particular weekends. Next slide. A quick overview of Branch Avenue. Both services, the express and the local, will operate out of bus bay C. That's the bus bay that's in the corner of the station. We have plenty of layover space. Those red rectangles depict where we lay buses over across from the Kiss and Ride. But we have plenty of space to stage buses and queue them up when they need to operate a local and express. Next slide. Suitland, going southbound, will use bus bay B, depicted there in blue, and going northbound, will use bus bay C, depicted there in darker blue. There's no relocations or staging at the Suitland station. Next slide. Naylor Road, we'll operate both the north and the southbound out of bus bay C. You'll see the supervisor's terminal booth, and to the right of there, you'll see bus bay C, and it'll operate going in both directions toward Branch Avenue and toward Southern. No relocations, no staging. We did adjust the signal timing there to improve our headway. So it's like 35 to 40 seconds, that signal outside of Branch. So we'll be able to get buses in there, in and out of there very nicely because of the signal adjustment. Next slide. Sandy, I'm sorry, you have a question?
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to wait till the end, but very quickly, when you talk about 20 or 24 or 28 buses, what do you anticipate the wait time is for a bus? How frequently at any given point, how frequently do you anticipate buses picking up passengers and leaving? 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
Good question, Sandy. All our service, no matter the day, no matter the time, is 8 to 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Right there on the slide. Yep. A new just loop. Philip?
I was going to wait till the end as well. I just wanted you to be aware that there will be basketball games out there at Care First Arena, which is the Congress Heights stop, and that a lot of people use the metro for that. I don't know, you know, I mean, you were talking about building in extra time. First of all, nobody's going to want to get off at Anacostia, sorry, but that's the truth. And then all the extra time it will take. So I just wanted you to be aware there will be, the place is usually sold out, and there will be large crowds of people on those dates when there are basketball games. Right now, I only know about the 26th, the 29th, and the 31st, but there may be more.
I appreciate that. It shouldn't be a big deal for us because, remember, we're only going up to Congress Heights for those 2 weekends, and we'll have plenty buses out there because we have Metro Bus out there. Whenever we have Metro Bus assisting with the service, it's generally not an issue. We generally struggle sometimes with the contractors, but with the Metro Bus, I have full confidence that we'll be okay, even with the basketball games. Debbie?
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. My question is there some way that we can make sure that people understand the contractors' buses are working for Metro? We've got people who aren't going to necessarily be comfortable taking a bus if they don't understand that it's part of Metro. So is there a way that this information can be communicated or is communicated? Are there signs in the, I mean, in, signs on the bus, something that notifies people?
Yes. We put a Metro brand emblem on every contract bus, so it is clear that that bus is working for Metro.
Okay.
Good question.
Thank you.
Okay, Anu. I apologize, Anu. I knew I was supposed to wait, but I couldn't help myself.
That's perfectly fine. No problem.
I think we already discussed NALA, bus bay C, operating both directions. Next slide. Southern. So this is the end of the line until we go to Anacostia. This is the other side. And the express is bus bay D. That's the bus bay that's nearest to the station's entrance slash exit. And then right 20 feet away is bus bay E for the local. No layover. No relocations. We have layover on both sides of the service loop depicted by the red rectangles. Next slide. And Congress Heights. These are the two special weekends that we will service Congress Heights. Bus bay A is the bus bay that's furthest from the station's entrance. We'll operate going north bound to Anacostia and southbound the branch or out of bus bay A. No service relocations for staging at Congress Heights. And last but not least, Anacostia, the two special weekends that I've alluded to. These are the second and third weekends in August. You'll need to know the express will be operated out of bus bay G. That is the bus bay that's nearest the station's entrance slash exit. And then the local is right beside it to the right, bus bay F. We did have to relocate some service. The C-25 was relocated from bus bay F to bus bay L. And Metro bus C-11, 13, 15, and 17, formerly the A-8, was relocated from bus bay G to bus bay H, which is only about 25 feet away. And we have some staging area in the service roadway depicted by the rectangles.
Seems like
okay,
that's the end of your presentation.
Did I get everybody's questions answered?
Seems yes. Steve, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, Steve, what do you have?
Steve, please
unmute. No, I know. I'm looking for my mic here. You know, I just want to acknowledge the complexity and I'm sure the enormous coordination that's required of, you know, your team and the construction focused team. There are so many pieces that have to come together. And I guess because of the nature of the way you presented this, it's just a very impressive series of things that need to happen over a very short period of time. And you know, I'm a bit, I hit the word humbled, but these many pieces that are coming together for in the space of a month or less are quite remarkable. So just want to acknowledge that.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Steve. We've got some practice, and we take everybody's insight to bring this together, and it's all about so that we can provide the best service in the nation.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Sandy is smiling, so I sense that she feels the same way.
Yes, and
actually, yeah.
One more question from Sandy. It's been a couple of years since I had to take a bus bridge for, you know, repairs on Metro Rail. And there were many Metro employees in yellow vests helping explain things to people. And I assume, I hope correctly, that you'll have a bunch of Metro staff helping explain things. This is what you do, which bus to get on to go express or regular for regular riders as well as tourists.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. It takes most people maybe 2 or 3 days to get used to the service, you know, especially a large project. Maybe they haven't looked on the website to see that we're doing some construction. We have various services set up to accommodate folks. So after about 2 or 3 days, after, you know, the staff will huddle them all up and coach them on which service is where and where it's going. Then normally after the second or third day, they just come by and say hello. Yep. But without any other questions, I'll turn it back over to Anu.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby, and thank you, Teresa. Chair Calabia, I do not see any additional hands up at this point. If you would like, we can go to our next guest speaker, who's Al Himes.
Welcome, Al.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm Al Himes. I'm the director of bus service planning and scheduling here at Metro. You know, today I'm wearing reading glasses and a green shirt. And so basically you'd asked me to come here to talk about the Better Bus Network. I do not have a specific presentation. I mainly came to answer any questions that you might have. As you all know, the Better Bus Network started on Sunday, June 29th. So we're at the beginning of our third week of the new net of the new bus network. Through that, overall things are going very well. We do understand that there are a few issues here and there, but overall, the rollout was very successful. And we are working on, making some corrections to a few bus stop signs. We have 7,500 to 8,000 bus stop signs in our service area. And we're probably making corrections to about 150 to 200 signs. So in total, not a significant amount, but there are adjustments. There are also some corrections we're making to the electronic data systems, a few stops here and there that aren't being announced by the buses, and all that. We're working on a correction that's going to go to the buses and be in effect starting on Sunday, July 27th. So, all those items that we found during the first 2 weeks of operation, where there were little corrections that we need to make, those have been adjusted, and we're preparing to have those corrected on starting July 27th. So, with that, I'm happy to address any questions or comments that people have on the new network so far, knowing that we'll continue to evaluate how service is doing and continue to make additional tweaks as we discover things that need to be adjusted.
Sure. Al, I haven't obviously seen all the bus stops where the new system discharges people and picks up people. But at the bus stops where changes were made, that is, people no longer had bus stops there. Was there any indication where the new bus stops are at those places where they used to be?
I mean, there were notices posted at the bus stops that would no longer be served.
And it said what the, I know that the signage also includes what the new designation is. That is, for example, I live at the system served by the old T2, which went from Friendship Heights to Bethesda, and it's now changed to M82. I know about that, but where buses are no longer appearing, was there anything to indicate to people who go to those now empty bus stops where the new bus stop is?
I mean, the bus stop, the sign that the bus stop was being eliminated, had the QR code link to our website so people could look up where the stops that would still be served were located. But there was not a customized sign for each of those locations to say exactly
So, yeah,
the
people
nearest stop might be.
assume that the rider will call Metro and find out where the new bus stop is. Do I read you right?
I mean, we, there was a lot, there was a lot of things that, because, the overwhelming amount of information that was involved in the new network and where the routes go and stuff like that, it wasn't, the messages weren't always simply explained by a simple message that could be put on a sign at the stop. It It required some people going and using the new trip planner tools and other information like that to determine what their new best trip would be
Or
to get
the new
the new
stop.
network started.
The other thing is, yesterday the Washington Post ran a story on people's reaction to the implementation of the Better Bus Network. I sent that around to all our members. Do you have any comments on, what are your comments on yesterday's Post article?
Yeah, I don't have any particular comments on the article itself.
Well, one thing that was noted, and especially of interest to us, is that there is an example of a person with a disability who no longer has the a bus stopping where he used to pick it up, and now it's very difficult for him to get to his job. Well, at the same time, Randy Clark was interviewed, and he talked about the complications. And beyond that, Allison was quoted as saying that there will be a chance for modifications in December and then next July. So I assume that that helps people who now find it difficult to make their comments and for the comments to be reviewed by Allison and her staff. Am I right?
I mean, we're reviewing all the comments we received and looking to see, what adjustments we're able to make. We are not going to be able to resolve every issue.
Understood, understood.
If there still is a balance between running our service efficiently and being able to be everything to everyone.
Sure. But
there will be there will continue to be cases where the most effective approach is going to, we have services like Metro Access and stuff to where that
yeah.
you
But
know.
Al, there might be some corrections or
Yeah.
modifications
I mean
in December.
we're evaluating all these to see, and there are a number of things that we are addressing that, things
But
that
Al, the timing for any modifications based on the feedback from riders, the modifications would be made in December.
I mean, it depends on what the modification is. I mean, some of the corrections, like I said, can be made as early as this update that we have coming on July 27th.
Okay.
Those are, July 27th is going to be things like, on the D5X route, the replacement for Route 54. The only stops being announced on the northern part of the route are the routes that the Route 59 used to serve, even though the bus is making all the stops that the 54 used to serve. So starting July 27th, things will be corrected. So all those stops that are marked for the D5X to stop at will also make that same announcement on the bus as well.
So
So
modifications may be made even before December.
Yeah, so corrections like that, things that like there's a stop out there that for some reason or another, there was a stop that we would always intended to make, and it's either missing on the sign or it was missing on what the bus announced. All those that we've discovered in the first 2 weeks, we've corrected. They're going to be updated. and correct it on July 27th.
Okay, cool.
There'll be another, there'll be another set of updates early September, probably mostly along those lines of additional things that we can fix. Maybe a few things associated with, you know, correcting a route path or something like that, but still things more on the simpler side that won't require like a reshuffling of the bus operator assignments.
Okay.
Then in December, we'll have a bigger update where we can make changes that will also affect bus operator assignments, because, you know, the bus operator assignments will change again in December. So we are working through, and those are a lot of the things that we're getting with the comments that we're going through and evaluating now over the summer to see which of these items that we feel need to be addressed in that December update.
Okay, thank you. Anu, any hands up by the members?
Yes, Chair Kaladbia, this is Anu. Steve Caffin has his hand up. Steve, if you will unmute yourself and go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Hi, Al.
Hi.
Is there a website that people are submitting comments to relating to the new and updated routes?
It's not a website. It's basically through the regular
customer service
channels or stuff that we're picking off of social media that people post that our social media teams are monitoring.
Oh, really? Is there a particular social media site that you find people are using?
Well, I think it's mainly people putting comments on there's some Metro accounts that those teams monitor.
But the customer service is still the one that's been.
Yeah, I mean, the customer service is the most effective way to submit the comments to make sure that we receive, you know, because there's a tried and true process to make sure that all those comments that come through customer service are processed and make it to us for review.
Right. You, th- right. There's.
Steve, that's a good question.
Oh, thank you. by the way, Steve Caffin, Caucasian, wearing a green Paris Olympic shirt today. So I fulfilled my responsibility there. Finally, one thing I noticed is that I ride bus D90, you know, which used to be the N buses, three or four times a week, and I've noticed that the frequency has been cut in half, and I think that's because during the day, the N2 and N4 were staggered. And so each one would come every 12 to 15 minutes, and it got all the embassy people who take that bus, and there are quite a few to work. But now it's 20 to 30 minutes, even during rush hour. And I've noticed a bit of frustration by many of the embassy employees. So that's as well as there may be with American University students who use those routes when they, you know, for the apartments that they live north of Wisconsin. So you might want to take a look. Well, I'll submit it through channels, but that's one you might want to take a look at. Not for the new route. The route seems fine. It's just the frequency during the day during the workday. Are you involved with the interior buses themselves, like signage and things like that, or just the operational aspects?
Yeah. So, I mean, my team does have stuff to do with programming the interior messages.
All right. You know, one thing that I've noticed is that there's an incorrect sign that was placed, looks like it was placed a while back on not all buses, but I'd say half the buses. And the sign is next to the first front facing seats.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can relate. Okay, I thought you were talking about the electronic signs on the bus, but
Is that your domain, or is that elsewhere?
no, that I mean that's our customer experience team, but I mean I can still take notes and make sure that the right
Could
people.
you, because that, that sign that they're using is incorrect, because it says it's the same sign that's used for the side seats that lift up and down, and that sign's
Oh,
exactly the same.
so not temporary, not temporary signage about service changes. You're talking about
And it's actually an incorrect sign
you're
because
talking about the actual sign on the bus about disability seating and
yeah, but
okay.
it's not for the side seats, because that certainly is correct and appropriate, but the front facing seats, I'd say about, oh, maybe 40, 50% of the buses, quite some time back, had that same sign placed on the first front facing seats. And that sign is incorrect because it's not a wheelchair, securement position, and as well as blocking the view of the seniors who like to sit there. Somebody tried to lift those seats and use it as such, it just wouldn't work. So that's a sign that at some point perhaps could taken off or should be taken off.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, I haven't seen that on the newer buses, but I can check with that would be our bus maintenance team, but I can make a note to check with them. But personally, I haven't seen that sign on the newer buses. It could be that some of the older buses still have it, and it's a holdover from the days of like when those seats actually did flip up to the way the newer buses are set, but not really changing where the signs got placed to reflect how the new seating worked.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Al.
Okay. Thanks,
Anu,
Al.
next
Thank
hands
you.
up. Next hand up by a member.
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. I don't see any additional hands up.
Okay. If there are no members, would we take any member of the public now for Al?
So actually, we do have, for Al,
Yeah.
that's your decision.
Okay. So if we have no one else who wants to make a statement or ask Al a question, we thank you, Al, again. And it's a very busy time for you all, and we appreciate that. And you're explaining to us that there might be some essential changes based on review by the staff. And not just in December, but in July and September.
Yep,
Thank
yep, yep, yep. Continue to
Chair
pass along
Calabria.
any comments you have through our customer service channels, and we'll be happy to review
Okay, thank you.
them. I believe, Steve, did you raise your hand again? Were you trying to make additional comments?
Well, yeah, I did. I pulled it back down because it
Okay.
certainly isn't urgent. Al, at some point, do you think it'd be appropriate to have night buses as some cities use? I know New York calls them night owls. Paris puts an N next to numbers, and these are buses that principally serve after the metro closes, maybe from around 1 a.m. until 6 a.m. I know you and I talked at the hearing a while back, at even doing an extension of the D90 or other buses to get to Union Station after the metro closes. And I'm wondering if at some point, your team will consider the overnight aspect of bus service.
Yeah, I mean, there's 14 routes that run overnight now, but I mean, it is something that we'll continue to look at and look at the effectiveness of the coverage.
Okay, well, thank you again, Al.
Yeah, thank you.
Anu, next
So the
guest.
next topic is for Teddy Kralik. to discuss temporary bus stop signage and permanent bus flags.
Wow, you guys are really ahead of schedule. I was supposed to go on in like 20 minutes, right?
Yes.
Well,
okay. Well, I can talk right now, but I'm not in front of my desk just because I was preparing for 5:10. So I can talk now, and I knew you can do the slides, or we can wait till 5:10 and I'll be at my desk. Yes. What would you prefer?
I can do the slides. Just give me a quick second and I'll pull them up.
Okay, thanks for everybody. Yeah. You can hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Teddy Krolik. I'm presenting on behalf of the customer experience departments. That's Sarah Meyer. As Al was just speaking about, there are lots and lots of things that we've been working on with departments all across Metro to try to get ready for this bus network launch, which, as Al said, has gone very well by basically every measure that we can have control over. So that's a real credit to a lot of hard work that Al and his team have done, and many, many, many others across the agency. So there's certainly things to work on, and that's what we're here to do. One of the things that we're interested in talking about today is specifically the bus flags. And fortunately, we've actually had a great chance to talk with members of the AAC on multiple occasions about bus flags over the last year. I've come multiple times to present to you on early ideas. I showed you a preview earlier in the spring and winter. I've been back to talk about as they're about to go install, to be installed. And now we're here to talk about early impressions of them being out, actually, is part of the launch, and starting to think about what might replace them. Because even though we're very pleased with these signs and these flags, they were always intended to be temporary. And so in the future, undefined exactly, we will need to make some new ones that have current and up-to-date information and maybe look the same, maybe look different. This, again, is a great opportunity for this group to talk about what's important going forward in terms of accessibility features, in terms of just general customer information. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So thanks, Anu. We can keep on going with the next slide. So as I said, we have installed, I guess, somewhere on the order of 8,000 to 9,000 flags over the last couple of months. And overall, we are using not only new design, but we've got new processes for how we actually produced those flags. It used to be that we would really use an artisanal process, attaching individual decals and numerals, like single digits, to the flags. For this run, we did one big sticker on every slide. So if you actually go to the next slide, you can see it, sorry, on each sign. Well, I guess actually I was giving you a little bit more background on this next slide. So maybe we'll go back to where I was before on you, and I'll get back to it. But the challenge, as I mentioned before, is that we're thinking about both now and in the future. And DMV Moves, which is a regional initiative that's bringing together all the different operators in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area to work together on all sorts of things, funding, working on all sorts of service designations, working on training opportunities. What are ways that we can work together as a region to achieve cost savings, better service, better experience for our customers? And this group is talking about the opportunity to use bus flags as a chance to show unified bus information. That means that there would potentially be not just Metro information on a flag, but also Ride-On or PG County the Bus, or some cases Dash, ART, you get the idea. This is something that we actually tried a little bit of, if you look closely at some of the PG County flags for a better bus, but the DMV Moves group is talking about a potential wider rollout. And so we're thinking about how that might work, and we're talking with customers, and we're talking with groups inside of Metro. We're talking, obviously, today about what folks would like to see. So let's move to the next slide. This is just a reminder that everything that we do is trying to respond to what we have learned from customers. And so we know that folks are asking for larger fonts. We know that people are looking for easier to read signs. That was a very important inspiration for the temporary bus flags that we did. And again, these are figures that we've talked about here in this group. if you're looking at this picture. And I did tell Anu that I really did try to make this presentation as accessible as possible. So if it gets sent out, it has full alt text descriptions for all images. But here in this image, we've got Barbara Millville, who I think is well known to this group, talking with one of the graphic designers on Metro's marketing team at a Chinatown bus stop about what she thinks regarding, I guess at this point, the legacy Metro bus flags. Let's move to the next slide. These pictures, again, all in alt text descriptions as well, are showing just what things looked like a few months ago. They're not so different now, except for the Metro bus flags are a little bit different. But the more important piece here is to show how Ride On, Art, Dash, OmniRide all share posts with Metro bus and how that can be confusing sometimes, in part because they have different bus stop ID systems. So one bus stop ID might be 1234, another might be 54321. Not exactly that simple, but just to give you a sense, at the same flag, there are different bus stop numbers. Likewise, there's just a lot of information. There's a lot of phone numbers, there's a lot of websites, there's a lot of route numbers, and they're all displayed differently. And so one of the ideas here is to declutter, to try to make this an easier experience for bus riders, to not make it so challenging. But we also, again, want to make sure that we're solving real problems that people are having. And so that's why we're talking with you today about how you guys see this situation. So let's move to the next slide.
Wait, 1 second. Could you get back to the orange sign under the Metro bus shuttle? The orange one refers to DC Motor Coach. And then there's a sign below that, which is in blue, and it says drop off only. Could you give us a few words on that?
Well, it's a perfect example of confusion, right? Where we've got all sorts of different pieces of information being shared. Those are not Metro bus, you know, blades. That's DC Motor Coach, that's OmniRide. And what we would be proposing is potentially figuring out a template, figuring out a way that actually all that information could be on one sign in the same, again, presentation, same display, and you'd be able to understand, and there'd be some certain standardization about what each one means. Right now, it's completely up to the individual operator about the information that they show. So again, one might call it drop-off only, one might call it alighting only, one might not give any information. And so this, again, is trying to show the diversity of flags and how different they are and how they can be confusing. I won't necessarily be able to explain what each of them is trying to say because, as I said, they're determined by each operator, but this is just this is actually a flag, to be honest. I took this picture. This is just outside the Metro offices from a few months ago. So the only difference between now and a few months ago is that the Metro bus flag is a little bit updated with now the better bus information.
What is a DC Motor Coach?
It's a great question. I haven't taken it, but it's at that stop. I don't know the answer to that.
And the drop-off only refers to which kind of vehicle? And
that's a bus that means that it's not picking up any passengers there. So, for example, a lot of commuter buses will do it that way, where they only drop off. They're not going to pick up passengers there because it might be, again, they have a different reverse alignment or a different reverse drop-off and pickup situation when it's, again, going with peak times. So they're going into DC at a certain time, they're leaving DC at a certain time. But again, those are operated independently of Metro.
Okay. You want to move on?
Yeah, I'd like to focus on the things that I can talk about. So this next slide is showing an example of what I think is probably the best part about this new temporary Better Bus flags, which is what we do when there's one route and one route only at a stop. This is about 70% of all stops. And what you can see here is a very large route number. That's the D40, or the route ID rather, and the destination, Silver Spring. These are the first time that we're showing destinations consistently on flags. It's the first time that we're showing, again, route IDs at four times the height of what they used to be. This is major improvement in terms of using all the available real estate on the sign for customer information and making it clear. We've gotten great feedback on these. This group was very excited about it when we showed it a few months ago. This is clearly something that we'd like to continue to explore in the future, which is how can we have a dynamic design that changes basically and uses the space more efficiently depending on how many routes are there. So if there's four routes, obviously it's going to be a different design, but there's only one or two, we can do a better job of presenting that information in a legible manner. I'm not going to get so much into the top and bottom portions where it's showing the old route and the new routes. We've talked a fair amount about it. this is honestly what we want to get away from. In the future, the permanent flag, it would just be showing current information. We would not have that confusion about kind of the legacy system and then the better bus system. I want to go to the next slide quickly, and then I'd like to get some feedback again from folks if there's any new insights that people have about things they like or don't like. This next flag example is showing with four routes. So again, not any smaller than what was on the legacy Metro bus routes. These IDs, in fact, are probably a little bit bigger, the D20, the D72 examples. The destinations, the Gallery Place, Lafayette Square, that's all new. The 24-hour icon, that is new. Using the bottom portion of the flag to have that white strip with black text with contact information and the bus stop ID, that's new. That was, again, in direct response to what we learned from this group, talking about color contrast, and specifically how we can put black text on white font and is better than, for example, putting white text on red backgrounds or something else. So I've now shown you, again, two examples. Obviously, there's lots of other ones that are out there. There's two route, three route, there's six route. But these are some of the more common kind of templates. So in this next slide, I ask you guys, what is working? What do you like about it? What's not working? And from there, we'll start to project forward about what we can do going into the future. So Anu, if you want to move back to either of those slides as a reference, happy to talk with folks about their thoughts on these temporary flags.
Okay, so we do have hands up by two members, Swatha followed by Steve. So Swatha, if you will unmute yourself and go ahead and make your comment. And then I see Philippa, so. Swatha, you need to unmute yourself. Okay. Perhaps she's having some trouble. So we'll go to Steve.
I apologize. Can you hear me now? Sorry.
We can. No problem. Go ahead.
So are these signs lower than that when you said four times? Is everyone's height right?
No. There's no difference in height. Were just swapping the old signs for these new ones. There are other, again, significant differences that we can talk about in terms of like reflectivity and some other compromises that we had to make to be able to reuse the existing signs. But the actual height placement is unchanged.
Okay.
And but how that's an important thing to consider going forward. So thank you for bringing that question up.
And how did you pick the red on white or the white text on red on a red background?
These are Metro colors. that's the main reason. To be honest, though, if you look really closely, and this is for eagle-eyed folks here, I actually am showing a slightly different version here on this flag, this slide, than what we actually have out on the street right now. This is a slightly older version. We actually made a little tweak to it to make it a little bit easier, specifically intending this for folks who might have some sort of color blindness. So if you look really closely at this design, the blue strip and the red strip run right into each other. So for example, if you did have some trouble distinguishing red from blue, you may not actually see that the color has changed between that top strip and the main area. So one of the things that we actually did, and you'll see this on the flags that are out on the street, is there is a very, very subtle white line that separates the blue top and the red main portion. So there actually is a divider so that if you were looking again, and you had some trouble distinguishing, you should be able to see that there was at least a break, and not necessarily the colors changing, but at least that there's a break between that top and that bottom. So that's an example of, again, something where we are listening and we are trying to make these things as good as possible. I'm sorry, this specific slide is actually a reused one from the one that we showed you back in the spring because it had the alt text really well done. So I wanted to use that. And there's, again, slight change and slight improvement in what we have out on the street today.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Swatha. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I like the new signs. I like the new signs. I find them much more readable. Some suggestions I have. I think that the D40, for example, can be even larger. You know, there's no reason why we have any open red space. These are high enough, so there's a distance involved. And I think you get them as get that as large as possible.
Noted.
Second, I know there's a rush to eliminate the old numbers, but don't forget, for generations in this city, people have lived with those numbers. And a month or two or three doesn't get people thinking new numbers without a reference that I find I need. And I ride a lot of buses to remind myself that this is the old L2, for example, even though it isn't.
Well, I love your optimism.
I would in the new iteration, I would keep that. It's small enough so that it doesn't interfere with the big important stuff, but it's there as a reinforcement to people that they're not in another city. It's still DC.
I love your optimism that you're thinking ahead to 2 or 3 months and that this information would still be helpful. We 100% agree with you. These changes are way farther away than that.
Okay.
I can't give you an exact time frame, but this is not going to be changing anytime soon. There will be lots of time to have a transition period.
Okay. Get the D40 larger because there's a lot of space there. You can do it. You don't need that left, that all that left red and all that bottom red. Also, if you've got three or four buses that make that stop, there's no reason why the sign can't be vertically lower. You know, it's sitting way up. There's a lot of room to work
with. There are some ADA regulations about height placement. So there are some things we have to consider there to make sure that it's not a hazard for people. That being said, again, I want this group to think kind of ambitiously. The actual shape of this flag does not have to be this shape forever. It could be different in the future. And if, for example, it were not so wide and actually was narrower and maybe, again, more length but less width, it would not protrude as far off of the sign itself, off the post. And so it could potentially actually be a little bit lower in some cases. Because again, it wouldn't present the same hazard for people passing by it because it wouldn't be protruding as far off. That's an example of something that we can potentially think about.
Okay, I'd quickly, I don't want to take up more time than I should. I use that number for next bus, and I use it in areas of town that I don't know. And I'm standing at a bus stop. I don't know how current the information is, but I want to find out whatever number stops there. I just want a bus. And that's critical for me. I would suggest, if you're standing in the middle of somewhere, pulling out your cell phone, you want numbers and not to try to figure out how to punch in Go Metro, if you know what I mean. And you might have some explanation there for ETA, comma, type Go Metro, comma, enter this number.
I think that's an excellent point.
Okay, thank you.
No, Steve, those are really great points, and I've been hearing those as well, that 202 Go Metro might sound catchy, but it's actually not obvious for how to, for example, punch it into your keypad. And likewise, if we don't explain what the number's for, it may not be as useful as we think it is. So those are important things that we are absolutely considering, and we want that kind of discussion with this group to talk about, again, what are some things they'd like to be able to do? What are some things that are confusing? What are some examples of things that you like about other cities? So I have included actually an appendix at the end of this presentation that includes just some examples and some references from other cities so you can see how great a job, or in some cases, how challenging it would be to be a bus rider there with perhaps a low vision. So those are all great points. I'd love to hear more from you guys. That's what this session is for, is to listen and to take notes.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Next is Philippa, and then we have Sandy, followed by Chair Calabria. Philippa, go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say, I from what I'm seeing on the video, I love the new signs. There's a lot of contrast, and at night, I'm sure because of the white lettering, it will stand out. So, from what I can see, this looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry, I was trying to turn my camera on, but it won't go. Okay. Oh, well. Anyway. Okay. But yeah, and I didn't know what the height was, but I understand you don't want the sign so low that they're banging into people's heads as they
Yeah.
walk by. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. Good job.
Felipe, your camera is on, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All I see is my ghost. Okay. Okay. Right.
No. Okay. Okay, thank you. Next is Sandy. Sandy, go ahead.
Yes, I'm glad to hear there's that little white stripe between the top bar, older information, and the new information. Can you, Anu, flip to the next sign that's got the four bus route example? So that little white line would also be there, because on this one, the size of the fonts of the old routes are closer to, they're not the same as, but closer to the size of the fonts of the new routes. So that would, the signs you're putting out have the little white line also?
Yes.
Okay.
And in fact, I used this example because it was easier to make it as large as possible so you guys could, again, see it really clearly. If I would have used an actual picture of a real one, you would have seen, yes, that line. And you'd have seen the little Metrobus bulb, the column that's on the left side.
Okay.
This is actually literally the sticker file, if that makes sense.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Philippa, and then I'll go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had just forgotten to mention that I was also happy to see the destination beside the numbers. So that was all. I was just saying I like that as well. Sorry, Sandy.
No, that's great. I think the destinations are really good. So back to Steve's point about the as large a font as possible. At some point, bigger font isn't necessarily a good idea if it distracts from consistency between the size, what you're looking for on a single route sign versus a four route sign. So I'm not sure I agree with Steve making it absolutely bigger, but I mean, somewhat bigger, I does make sense to me. And then a topic that isn't these two signs in particular, but when you were talking about the single sticker for the whole sign, making your lives easier creating these signs, were you talking about, did you intend for the single sticker to include all the Metro buses that would stop there, plus all the other buses that would stop there? Because that sounds like it would become very confusing if the other bus operators change their routes or change their pick up only kinds of information. So I just
you hit
want
on
clarification.
The exact, you hit on the, Sandy, it's always great to hear from you. You've asked exactly the question that is top of mind. It is going to be very challenging to coordinate the service changes, coordinate any sort of, again, modification when you're working across different agencies. And so that is absolutely a top discussion topic that we're talking about with our partners to think about how that might work. But yes, in the future, again, we have a lot to figure out in terms of what size and the colors and the display, but it is clear that having the ability to print out one big sticker at once is making it just a lot easier to produce and to actually attach it. So easy that if you do have a change, it doesn't make a big deal. It's not a big deal to reprint the whole thing. But one of the things that we've learned is that, for example, the way that we had to do this vinyl sticker, it actually covers up a portion of the reflective material that's on the bus sign itself. And as a result, the reflectivity overall of the sign is not as strong as it was before. Right now, it's covering up, again, a portion of it. So there is still reflective material, but it's not as much. Bus operators in particular are concerned because for them, it's a very important feature to be able to find something at night to know where to go. But of course, we've also talked with folks who, again, might have low vision, other concerns, and they say actually, less reflectivity, not so bad for people who are concerned about glare. So there's always a back and forth.
Yeah. And that back and forth about the size thing too. I'll just tell a funny story that one time I was at Dulles Airport and I couldn't for the life of me find the gate number. Using binoculars, looking here, looking there, I finally asked an airline pilot or somebody who looked like, you know, he had a uniform on, he's pulling a roller bag. You look very official. I said, excuse me, I know this isn't your job, but could you tell me what gate number this is? And he pointed at the wall, and the gate number was painted on the wall 6 feet high. And so it was completely not what I was expecting to look for. And that's sort of an extreme example of the not
I
make
love
it
that.
Too
Yeah.
big. But
No, that's a terrific.
there are people with low vision who have tunnel vision, and so if what they're looking at is bigger than their tunnel vision area that they can see, it's hard for them to figure out, okay, this is the sign I'm looking for, and these are all the and they would be reading it one letter at a time.
That's a
So
great point, Sandy.
some caution in it, yeah. But
Thank
Steve,
you.
I appreciate your input.
No, I think those are both great
Okay.
points, and I'm writing them both down. So thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Chair Calabia, go ahead.
To Steve's point about having for years memorized what the numbers are of buses, that he goes one to another. The Washington Post story, which I circulated, mentions that as one of the problems that some riders will have remembering remembering the old numbers, but not having a way of connecting that with the new numbers. The second thing is at the bottom of this particular slide, it says 202-GO-METRO. I would suggest that maybe you could add, if there's space, something like questions with a question mark, and then call that number. Otherwise, that just seems like some corporate number or corporate indication of who's in charge of this whole business. But if you say, if you have questions, call 202 Go Metro. I think that would help. The third thing is that, yes,
I
there
was going to
was.
say that's a very consistent with what Steve was saying before about ETA to be able to explain what you use the number for. So, yes, noted.
Yeah, but he didn't mention, I think, explicitly saying on the sign that if you have a question, call.
Understood.
The third thing is that we haven't seen anything about what appears now in the bus shelters. And in the past, the bus shelters have had also not only information as to which buses go there, but there was electronic info on when the next bus would come. Could you mention what kinds of things will go into the bus shelters as
Yeah, I think that's not changing as part of this either the bus network redesign or this future work, which that those real-time displays are very important. There's almost 1,000 of those throughout the system at shelters and at just single bus stops. We are continuing to work on, continuing to put them in more locations and trying to make sure that they're of course accurate. So those will absolutely remain, and we hope to do a better job even going forward with those.
So, for example, with respect to the sign we're looking at, within the bus shelter, it would have the different buses would be identified as coming, but it will also says coming in 2 minutes or 4 minutes or whatever.
Yes, those are the real-time bus information screens that are at, generally speaking, there's like a rubric that we use to determine where are the locations that are most important to have that type of real-time information. So that's, for example, how many people actually use this stop, where it's located, if it's a transfer. There's kind of different considerations to prioritize of the, again, roughly 8,000 bus stops, which ones need this information. So absolutely. It would be provide it'd be presenting the route ID. So this is, D20 going towards Gowrie Place. It is arriving in 2 minutes, and so on and so on.
Okay, good. I was wondering about that. If no other member
Chair
has a.
Calabia, we do have two hands up by members.
Okay.
First is Swatha and then Steve. So Swatha, please unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear
Yes.
me?
Yes, we
Okay.
can.
All right. So does the sign like under the 202 Gold Metro, does it say the like, number there? What does it like someone like me who's never used a rotary phone or like a phone like that with numbers on them, like or letters with keys, like how would they like either a way to put that number translation underneath the Go Metro.
Yeah, it's an important question. If you call up, the keypad on your iPhone, it does show you, for example, how the different letters are associated with numbers, but it's not necessarily something that everybody grew up with. So it may not be something that you noticed before. So, if you I'm looking right now, G is number 4 and O is number 6. So you'd be able to do it, but it does take a little bit of kind of back and forth. I think this is a great question of basically the relative value of putting in the actual numbers in addition to the 202 Go Metro, or replacing 202 Go Metro with the numbers themselves, so that you again can make the size of the text as large as possible. As you can imagine, if you put it twice, you're probably gonna have to make it a little smaller. This is a question that I think we're gonna be doing more research on to get a sense of the relative pros and cons of, again, having kind of a simple to read number, but not as simple necessarily to enter. That is how you would enter it, is on your keypad, and you can get pull out your phone, you can see how that would work. That perhaps is not obvious to everyone.
Thank you.
Next.
Swatha, does that conclude your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Steve, go ahead.
Thanks. Hey, Teddy, do you also handle the information inside the kiosks or just the signs?
When you say kiosks, could you give me more information
I mean,
about
oh, sorry. I mean, at the bus stops, they're the next bus information, and that's either horizontally or else by little tablet. Do you handle
Potentially, yes. Potentially, yes. So tell me more and let me see what I can do.
Okay, great. For the over in the bus kiosks, I hope that's the right word. The vertical information. You want to be sure that the last stop information, which is part of that info part of what's being shown, is, if necessary, abbreviated so it doesn't run over the number of letters. And why I say that is we have about the longest hold time for information of any system like this I've seen. It's 7 seconds. And it's, for example, New York uses 3 seconds where it changes. Other systems use 2. We use 7, which is particularly difficult for people like our constituents who don't or can't pull out their smartphones and stand there for up to a minute waiting for their information because it runs so slowly. But besides that, that's an issue. But besides that, sometimes the last stop is so long, it just keeps rolling, and it'll keep rolling until that last stop is there, even if it takes 10 to 14 seconds. So that's something to talk to the people who create those who create that to keep
Can
them
I just
short
make
enough.
sure, let me make sure I understand. You're saying that the
Sure.
7 seconds kind of scrolling update refresh is too long. You'd like it to move
That's
faster? Is that what you're saying?
what I'm saying. Unlike what I've seen elsewhere, we have just 2 lines. And if you have many some stops that have more than 2 lines, it takes 7 seconds before it goes to the next bus.
Well, I've got good news for you, Steve, which is that after, not after, but starting really kind of this month and after the Better Bus launch, I actually am getting to work more on screens. And so I'm going to be learning more about how they work and what they display. So the next time I come back, I'm going to be able to give you a better answer.
Okay.
Right now, I'm just starting to get involved. I'm kind of transitioning a bit into it. So I will try to find out more information there.
Is there any way that through Anu, perhaps I can send you some things you might want to look at?
Of course, always, always.
Okay, that's great. That's great, Teddy. Thank you very much. Thanks.
No, I appreciate it. And then Anu, if you want to move to the next slide.
Chair Calabria, did you have any additional comments? You raised your hand.
I do with respect, almost on the topic that has just come up, New York's outdoor signs. But why don't we go through what he started to talk about, and I'll afterwards go to the photos that I took in New York about what they have outside regarding information about which bus is coming and when it's coming.
Okay.
That'd be great. We can definitely do that. Thank you.
Is this the right slide for you now?
It is, Anu. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So these are just some prompts for folks to think about. Again, big ideas in the future. What would be helpful? What would be a great example to follow? What are your goals? This is a chance, again, for you to give us inspiration. And these are just a start. So if there's other questions you'd like to answer, I'm open to them. But these were just some to start. I can read them. It's what kind of information is most important to display? Again, talking about in the future. Should the flag be a similar size or shape to the current design or something different? How do you feel about combining multiple agencies on a single flag? What specific accessibility features are most useful? So with that, we've already covered a lot of these questions in the course of the conversation naturally. But if there are other things that people would like to bring up, I'd love to talk about them today. I can also receive them by email or other forms through new. I can come back. This is going to be, again, a longer term project. So we are just at the beginning of collecting ideas so that we can then actually create some initial prototypes, which we would then share with you guys. And again, all of our internal customers and external customers to get feedback on and continue to iterate to make them better, because we're probably not going to get it right the first time. So that's why it's important to have lots of drafts. We're talking before the first draft has even been created. So if we have covered your thoughts, that's great. Again, I'm happy to continue the conversation by email and follow up at future meetings, but I'm also here right now if people do have specific ideas they'd like me to write down.
I have one question. Your last line on that slide, could you go back to it, Anu?
Sure, one moment.
Yeah. The last line says, and
I think it said, what are specific accessibility features that you'd like to see on a new flag?
You know,
so an example of that could be, for example, raised text or braille elements or again, we've talked about color contrast, we've talked about font size. So in that range, thinking about those specific types of elements.
Well, I'd have to think about the last two questions you raised, but with respect to, well, I agree that if there are two bus lines that serve that one bus stop, that somehow you have to provide information on the other line in addition to WMATA's buses. And with respect to specific accessibility features, you mentioned Braille, but the signs are too high for people to be able to reach them to read the Braille if there is any.
Yes, one of the things that we're considering is potentially a closer to kind of eye level panel that would be easier again for people to see because it'd be closer to kind of your face, but also closer to your hands. And that would mean potentially there would be two pieces in the general flag display, one at 8 feet in the air and then one at, let's say, 5 feet in the air. That would be, again, smaller and would have more limited information, but would put it right in front of a customer. So that's an example of, again, what we could think big about as we assemble ideas.
But the lower height of 5 feet, you mentioned that the higher level of 8 feet for the current kind of signs is within the ADA stipulation.
Yes, but yes. So at the 8 feet tall, you've got the full-size flags, which again are taller and wider. This would be a small panel. This would be, you know, something perhaps the size of your hand.
And
right?
That,
so it was.
That would be at 5 feet?
I can't tell you exactly the height, but just lower, that it would be easier, again, to actually see information. It would probably not, for example, show route-specific information, but it might, for example, provide the prompt about, if you have questions, call this number, that kind of information.
Okay, but if it's at 5 feet, would that be outside of what ADA requires?
No, because it's not large. It doesn't protrude beyond the sign itself.
Okay.
And so it doesn't create the same hazard.
Okay. Fine. Anu, if there's anyone else, I'd like to refer to the...
We do have... Chair Kalabi, this is Anu. We do
is
have
there somebody moment. Else? Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
So, Sandy, I do see your hand, but we haven't heard from Tawan. So, Tawan, go ahead and unmute yourself to make your comments.
Anu, you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay. African-American male, purple polo shirt. My question is actually about, I'm thinking about Prince George's County specifically right now. And I know that in the area where I'm referring, in this case, Bowie, far Prince George's County, there are bus stops as part of the Better Bus Network that have been eliminated. And in addition to the elimination, you know, to improve efficiency, part of that revision was to some of the buses have gone over to the bus, which falls under Prince George's County jurisdiction. My question there is just from a point of, just for those who may not have awareness, when trying to manage, next bus or will those signs have the same revision? Will they fall under the bus for any updates as far as how they will be designed? Or are designed in the Better Bus Network, and as far as being able to track real-time use?
So right now, actually, if you do go to the PG County, the bus and metro shared stops, you'll see that that is kind of an early version, just a demonstration of how we can put multiple providers on the same flag. So it's actually a white flag background. It's not red and blue like the ones we were just looking at. It shows PG County routes, so say, you know, P94, but it also will have Metro bus routes. And then we have little logos that distinguish the two different agencies. That is something that we developed specifically for Better Bus. It's not necessarily how things would have to be in the future, but those were installed and will be maintained by Metro. And that's potentially a model that could be used in the future. It doesn't have to be, but that is an example of how it could be for multiple agencies, not just PG County, but other ones in the region. You also had a question about real-time info. Again, that's not going to be a part of this project specifically. That's a kind of an ongoing effort that Metro is trying to do to make sure that real-time information is available on screens at lots of locations. Mm-hmm. But that's a kind of a separate thing from specific flag design, if that makes sense.
I hear you. And just for clarification, will these stops, as in this example, or other non-metro specific, will they at least have a I guess we're since we use the phone number, the Go Metro reference, will there be numbers that a person can call on those
Yes, and
stops
that's a
as well?
great point. Thank you for that's a really important point. So if you do look, and I'm sorry I don't have the picture up right now. I can send one to Anu, but if you're in PG County, you can go out and see any stop. We show both PG County and Metro contact numbers. That being said, the Metro contact, the call center, receives calls about PG County Bus, about Ride On, about other neighboring agencies all the time. They are very used to fielding those questions and answering them. So to an extent, the Metro customer call center is already kind of providing all of the information that you would need from if you were calling specifically to PG County or not. And they are well equipped to help with any question.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sandy, go ahead.
This is Sandy. The most important information to have down at eye level, I believe, would be the bus stop number, so that when you
Yes.
call for information, you know you can explain to them where you are. That has stymied me in Fairfax County and in Portland, Oregon, when I'm calling for information and they say, "Well, what bus stop are you at?" And I'm like, "I can't see the bus stop number. Can I describe to you where I am?" So if you could put that at eye level, that could be a useful piece of information. And perhaps, maybe thinking outside of the box, make that a sort of a round or oval shaped sign so it doesn't have a sharp corner on it. I don't know whether that would help make it safer at eye level for people who might bump into it.
It's a great idea. Thank you.
Okay. Teddy, did you want me to go ahead and on to the next slide?
Sure.
Okay. Oops. Okay, this is it.
So
Next.
these are kind of where we're at right now, and I described this already to some extent, where right now in the summer, we are again starting. We have not actually done anything but starting to work on some concepts. So those would be some images of what a new flag could look like that would eventually be converted into a physical prototype. So that would be an actual example of a sign that we could put out on a street, and we could invite you guys to come check it out. That's something that we do not have ready yet, but that's where we'd like to be able to get to later this summer and into the fall, so that we could then again see how it works for Metro bus riders, see how it works for ride-on customers, see what is missing, what we could do better, and try to again get some agreements to see what different agencies might need to see in order to join this effort. So this is again just the beginning, and there's quite a ways to go. You do not have to worry about missing the temporary bus flags for quite a while. They will be up surely into 2026, and I can't tell you how much longer, but certainly into next year. So in the next slide, I've got my contact information as well as I guess we talked about some questions, but next slide, I've got my contact information as well as oh, or maybe I took that one off. Well, in any case, I can give that to Anu. I have in the appendix examples of other places, including Portland and TriMet, which is a great example. Actually, I've not checked out those buses, but Sandy, judging by the pictures, you can see actually this Atlanta example. And I'm sorry, these ones I did not provide alt text for each and every example. I did it for my portion, but for not for these appendices. And this Atlanta example, this is a great possibility of what an eye level panel can be. And you can see it's got the bus stop ID at the top. It's got the information about how to get questions answered. It's got a website, but it's complementing information that's higher up on the sign. This Atlanta example has been very inspiring to us and something that we're seriously considering. If you want to keep going, I can show you more, but I know we've also used up a lot of time. So Anu, how would you like to handle things?
I would leave it. It's totally up to you, Teddy, if you want to go. I just want to share that I did share this presentation with the committee and I did make sure that this was accessible. So
Oh, terrific. Thank you.
no
Well,
worries on
let's go
that.
quickly through so we
Okay.
can just kind of mention them. So we just looked at
Yeah.
Atlanta. Atlanta is a very interesting example, and we've been in touch with the folks there about how they did it so we can ask them questions. Boston is also a great example because notice how different it is. It's very tall, but it's also very narrow. And they are very conscious about font size. So they actually keep every single piece of critical information at 2 inches or bigger, which is terrific. I think that's going to be one of the things that we're going to aim for as well. You can just see in the first example of Atlanta to Boston how different they can be city to city. Let's go to the next slide. Chicago is actually very small. This is showing not only the route ID, but also a short map, as well as a short written description. I honestly don't understand how people can see this at any sort of distance, but that's what Chicago does. Let's move on. Edmonton is a pretty simple design. You can see it's kind of rectangular shaped, used a similar convention. You can see we kind of were inspired by how they put the route ID on the left and then the destination on the right. But to Sandy's point, they make the bus stop ID really big in the bottom right corner. And I think that's a really nice touch. We can go to the next one. London, you can see, almost looks like a subway sign. It's really large. It does not provide necessarily destinations, does not provide contact information, does not provide real time, but it's really easy to find because it's really big. So again, different approaches all around the world. Let's go to the next one. Miami, it's kind of a bumper sticker style where they've got these individual decals you can see that get applied to the aluminum backing. And here they do have a route ID that's fairly large, but quite small destinations. And then this large bus header up top to announce that this is a bus stop sign or a bus stop location. Let's go to the next one. Montreal is interesting because they use colors. So if you know, for example, what filled in purple means versus what a not filled in just purple outline means, then you would know that one bus is a frequent route and one is not. But that's information that you would need to know. And I can't tell you how you would find that out because they don't explain it at the bus stop. You need to know that from elsewhere. So again, there's decisions that each city makes to try to inform customers. And I think some of them make sense, some of them are harder, but it shows you there is no perfect solution. Let's go to the next one. This is from the Bay Area where they actually are trying to put multiple providers on the same flag. So there's no specific branding in terms of color. This kind of yellow blue composition is purposefully neutral. So it's not indicative of any agency or another. Instead, in the bottom left corner, they put the agency icons, but they don't necessarily show you which agencies are related to which routes. This is a great question that, again, I'd like to continue talking with this group about, which is how important is that? Do you care that the D90 is operated by Metrobus and the P90 is operated by PG County, or you just care that the P90 takes you to Bowie? These are the kind of questions that we're gonna have to answer. Let's go to the next example. Oh, that was the last one. Okay, so thank you. This has been a great discussion. I think we went on early and we've gone late, so we've had a lot to talk about.
You mentioned TriMet, but you didn't show us TriMet.
I know. I took that one out because it wasn't a good example, to be honest. It was so tall. I will send you the picture. I have a picture of TriMet. I will send it to Anu.
Yeah. TriMet has a wonderful bus shelter, which uses some kind of electronic email, which is... shows, I think, would be good for people with low vision, the arrival times of different. I do have a picture of that, and I will send
that'd
it to
great.
Our
please do send folks. And I'll send a picture of the flag, but thank you for offering the shelter. That'd be helpful to see.
Okay. Yeah, and now if Anu, you could show the photos I have of the outdoor.
Yeah, give me one moment and I can show that quickly before we go into public comments.
Yeah, Teddy, this is a bus stop in New York City. It's probably very costly. I don't know, with so many thousand bus stops we have, I don't know if we could do all of them
Yeah, this is a major project here, these info screens. Those are, you know, generally paid for with ad revenue. And that is something that we're trying to do a better job of in terms of providing big screens like that at stations. and specifically at bus loops. So, for example, if you were at New Carrollton today, you'd see there's a pretty big real-time bus screen, like 55-inch screen that's at the beginning of the entrance to the bus bays that are underneath the garage as part of the kind of the temporary configuration while all the construction is working out. Likewise, screens.
Anu, could you show the second slide of the same bus stop? I sent two.
All right, one moment.
One of them is has more detail. It's the same bus stop, but it has more detail. And basically, it shows the number of the bus, the location where it's going, and how many stops away it is at that moment. So it's a real-time kind of info on this. You don't have it yet?
I'm pulling it up. There we go.
Now, Teddy, this is the same bus stop. And you can see the enlarged version of the photo. It shows bus number, where it's going, and how many stops away it is. It probably costs a lot of money, and they probably don't do it for the thousands and thousands of bus stops that they have. But is there any possibility that at some point in the future we could do that?
Yes, and I'm going to be learning more about screens going forward. So thank you for sending this, and I will take this back to the team and try to get some more answers about the different templates that we can show.
Okay.
And Chair Calabria, before we jump into public comments, because it is 5:46, I just want to state that any members of the public, if you have any further feedback, any members of the AAC, if you have any further feedback for Teddy, please email that to me and I will share it forward.
Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate your time. As always, it's a great discussion. I really look forward to being able to discuss this in person with you at, sometime soon. So stay tuned, and I hope you have a great summer.
Okay.
Thank you, Teddy.
Anybody from the public would have questions for Teddy?
So I would just say that if any members of the public have any public comments, please let us know now, and we can take your public comments starting now at this time. And I thought we had one public comment earlier, but I don't see anyone's hands up at this point. Okay, so Chair Calabria, I'm not seeing any hands up for public comments, and I do not see any chat messages either. So if you'd like to continue with the discussion, please do, or however you'd like to move forward.
Well, does anyone have any further comments for Teddy? If not, we can again thank Teddy, and we'll be in touch with what we have and what he has regarding signage.
Sandy has raised her hand. Sandy, go ahead.
Sandy, unmute yourself. Sandy, you need
okay, to- I got it. I don't know if I can't remember that he's involved.
You're breaking up.
I think it was Sarah Myers' group, so maybe he's involved in the single
Sandy,
disc.
This is Venu.
Single letter. Up? On a colored disc for the metro lines. Are there examples of those up that we can see?
I did hear your question.
Let me try again. I'll try to speak louder. I'm really having connectivity issues here. Are the single letter, okay.
Sandy, just a recommendation. If you want to turn off your video, that might help with the audio.
Okay. So
last week or in a recent meeting, Sarah Myers was talking about changing the metro lines from a double letter to a single letter on a colored background. And there was some discussion about whether it was black on the color, black letter or white letter. And I was wondering if any of those are up anywhere that we can see them as examples, or whether they can be sent digitally again.
Yes, Sandy, thank you for the question. I am not working specifically on that project, but I can get you those images. So I will follow up with Anu and send those to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sandy, and thank you, Teddy. Chair Calabia, I do not see any additional hands up.
Okay. Do we have another agenda item?
That was the last topic of discussion for today's meeting agenda.
Okay, so we were ahead with Teddy by 10 or 15 minutes, and now we are 10 minutes away from adjournment. So if there's anyone who has comments or questions during this 10 minutes, please raise them now. Hearing no, yes.
No hands up?
No hands.
No chat messages either.
Okay. So this is the last meeting of the bus rail subcommittee until next September. Am I correct, Anu?
Yes, that is correct. We have the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting before we go in our summer recess and resume back in September with the AAC full committee meeting on September 2nd. That will be a Tuesday.
Okay. Well, if there is no other agenda item and there are no other comments that members or staff want to make, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Chair Calabria, before you take the motion, if I may just remind any members of the public, if you would like to make submit your public comments before or after the meetings, you can do so via email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. And that's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And we will follow up. Thank you. That concludes my announcement.
Okay. Again, with about 9 minutes left and no one else has any comments, neither from the public nor from the membership, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Do I hear?
To adjourn, Farmer.
Second, Ms. Philippa.
Okay, do I hear, please take a vote on adjourning. Do I hear any objections to adjourning? Not hearing objections to adjourning, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much and see you in September.
Yes, I will miss all.